You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
All right, it is Sunday, July 15th, and this is the 10th episode of the Pinball Podcast. This is Jeff, and always I'm here co-hosting with Don. Don, how are things going for you today?
I'm doing all right. Long day at work. I'm looking forward to talking pinball, though.
Yeah, earlier today I was talking to my wife, and I was like, hey, wow, this is 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. And kind of like tried to imply that meant something, and then she looked at me and said, isn't a year cooler? So...
Yeah, but episode 12 doesn't sound that cool.
It doesn't, but she had a point, I guess. But anyway, 10 episodes. We're a double-digit show now, so...
Yeah. Episode 10, super spectacular right now.
That's right. We're blowing it out today, so... Free X-Men for the first person who emails.
Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Oh. We need to put like an asterisk at the end or a... yeah, that's a disclaimer from our attorney.
Yeah, that's the problem with, like... audio format is you can't really do like an audible asterisk. We got to come up with that. So anyway, let's jump into things. It's a kind of a light week as far as news goes, but we've both been doing some fun stuff in the last month with pinball, and mm-hmm. I'll let you lead us off. So what have you been up to? Gatherings, playing, shopping, whatever?
Yeah, have you been up to? The biggest thing is that we had a Duke City Pinball open house at my house I guess about 2 weeks ago. I think it was June 30th. And we hadn't had one in almost a year, so I put up an ad on Craigslist, you know, kind of get people interested, and I didn't have any, like, crazy people emailing me wanting directions to my house. I'm real cautious about talking to people before I bring them over, since there's nowhere, you know, publicly to play. But we actually had a great turnout, so the get-together started at 4, and at 3:57, the power went out. So one guest that showed up at that time, power went out, and then everybody showed up. We had about 50 people in here. It kept getting hotter and hotter. The beer got warm, the chili got cold, and the power was out for an hour and a half.
Oh, man.
So I guess it, the transformer, my cul-de-sac was going out. So it was only the 9 houses in my neighborhood. And of course, everybody was blaming me. Oh, you got all these pins on. I'm like, no, they were all in attract mode, I swear. There's no power dry, and we do it all the time. Anyway, so everybody, we only had one person leave in that hour and a half, but it was kind of crazy. It was very stressful. And then, of course, that put all the tournaments and stuff back, you know, a good 2 hours. So once the games came on, everybody went crazy, just playing and playing. A friend brought his Shangri-La over, and another guy brought a broken party zone over, just so people could kind of see the inside of a pinball machine. And so that was fun. I got the Zeke's Peak going. And that ended up being kind of the hit of the whole event.
I want one of those.
No, it's a great game. And there was this a guy I never met. His name is Matt, and it was his first time coming. He didn't know anybody else here. He just got into the Facebook page for Duke City Pinball. And he ended up rolling it twice in one game.
Wow, that's impressive.
That was very impressive. He got over 10,000 points, and he got to hole 10 twice. Yeah, I've never got there once. But, man, he did great. So it was a lot of fun. We did a $2 tournament with one ball on Arabian Nights. And with one ball, somebody got, I think it was 23 million was the high score, which is a killer score in that game, just period. Nevertheless, with one ball. And then we did, like, a team tournament, one flipper each, but two people playing.
Yeah.
And then... So we did a two-player game, but with four people on each machine. And that went really well. We had some fun trophies and stuff. And we had a lot of door prizes that we gave out. And, yeah, we had a great time.
Awesome. So you said the Zeke's Peak was popular as far as, you know, everybody gathered. But what seemed to be the pinball machine that stood out?
The pin? I think the Simpsons was a big hit. You know, the new Simpsons was running. CSI, nobody had really seen it, so a lot of people were into that. But the Shangri-La actually got a lot of attention because I only had two EMs here.
Cool.
So both EMs, we had a few older people and a few younger people that are just diehard EM people. But, you know, those ended up getting played all night long.
You ever have the experience where you get a brand new game and you're excited for the next big gathering, or whatever, and then everyone shows up and you're all like proud of it. You've polished it a little bit extra, and then nobody cares.
Yeah. The Judge Dredd, this is the first time it's been working when I've had one of these events, and there's a couple times when nobody was playing it. Same with Roadshow. I got a really nice topper from Pinside. There's a guy on there making this really big, nice aluminum topper with flashing strobe lights and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I got one of those and hooked it up, and nobody said anything. A couple times the Roadshow's just sitting there.
Yeah. It's funny. It's because... I guess all that matters is that you're excited about the machine, but when that happens, it's kind of a bummer. Like, when I got my Indiana Jones, it was a bit of an ordeal to get. You know, the first time I tried to make the drive to go get it, I got turned back by the weather, and right. I mentioned it previously on the show, staying in the meth-ridden hotel. And, and then, you know, so then I just paid to have it shipped in, and when it was there, I was so excited, like, oh, yeah, I finally got it. My friends are going to love it. And nobody even played the thing. They just went back to the old standards, and that was a little deflating, but yeah, it happens, huh?
It's your collection, so.
All right, well, aside from the gathering, which, based on following the Duke City posts, it seems like everyone had a good time, and it seems like you had a good success, despite the little bump in the road with the power outage. Mm-hmm. What else have you been up to?
That's been the main thing. We've been working a lot, and... just getting our house organized. Okay. So we've lived here 3 years now, and I think we just finished unpacking last weekend.
Well, we've been doing a lot of that ourselves, the unpacking stuff, and we've been here just over a month, and maybe about a month and a half or so. I don't know. I lose track of time, but it was actually the second week of June we moved in. Well, we finally got our cars in the garage yesterday, so I know how that feels, but...
Yeah. That was a big bump for us, too.
Yeah, it's a little milestone. But yeah. I've been doing some stuff. The last couple months, I've been a little bit limited with the whole moving process and E3 and all that stuff. But this month, I was able to do a few things. Just yesterday, in fact, I was out playing Tron on location, which was quite a bit of fun. I always have a good time, you know, playing those newer games. And the Tron that's on location by me is... it's pristine. Not even a speck of dust or wear on it anywhere. Even has the Made in USA sticker on the glass still, and the teenagers haven't peeled that off yet. So,
nice.
Yeah, I always have fun with that machine. But other than that, I've gotten a few more of my machines set up. I posted that picture on the Facebook page of all my machines folded up, and mm-hmm. and a few of them still are, but not all anymore, at least. And a big reason for that was my kid, he's 3 years old. He's been bugging me about, you know, once or twice a day, Dad, want to play pinball? It's, you know, it's like, me too, buddy, me too. But we finally made the time, made the space, got enough boxes put away that I pulled out some machines and set them up. And it's kind of funny because the first thing I set up was Spider-Man, because he's on a real Spider-Man kick right now. And to get the Spider-Man out, I had to pull the Attack from Mars out. And so it was sitting next to the Spider-Man, and we were upstairs after he had been playing, and he's like, Dad, you want to set the other game up? I was like, sure, we can set it up. He's like, okay, go downstairs right now and do it. And I go, oh, all right.
Yes, sir.
Start walking down the stairs, and I stop to say something to my wife. He's like, no, Dad, you go set it up right now. Like, oh, my goodness. He's not usually too bossy, but
nice.
I think I've rubbed off on him, so
yeah, got the Attack from Mars set up.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah. He definitely did better on Spider-Man the last time he played it than I did, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Right.
I finally been able to do a little bit of work on machines, and I finally swapped out the clock housing on my Twilight Zone. I had the normal factory one, but like many, the screws were kind of stripped on it, on the housing. Mm. So I put the blue one on, and I ordered this blue housing, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago. I just never put it on.
Wow.
Whenever they were brand new. Maybe not 3 or 4, maybe, well, yeah, that would be about how long ago, huh? So I think it looks great in there. I don't know if I like it better than the plastic clear housing or not, but I do like it quite a bit, so I'll keep it in there for a while and see. But
So do you have LEDs or incandescents in there, and does it make a difference? On the blue, I mean?
I have LEDs on my inserts in Twilight Zone. All of the general illumination is incandescent.
Well, I mean inside the clock.
But the clock housing, I haven't changed it yet. I've been too big of a wuss to put the LEDs in that in. But I want to. I should. But it's still the incandescent. So it's nice. Makes it glow nice and warm. Kind of a warm blue. So
I got to ask then, because I actually sat down about 2 or 3 weeks ago and just went through the whole clock list, because mine doesn't have a clock, and just started ordering part number by part number on Marco and
right.
Pinball Life and Bay Area, just trying to get every piece. And I got every single piece except two. But I got to ask, how easy was it to put in? Because there is a lot of parts in that little clock.
Oh, to do the housing?
Yeah, how easy was it to swap, I guess?
I don't think it was too hard. I just think it's one of those things that you're careful about it.
Okay.
I don't know, compared to some of the other stuff I've done, like putting a set of Cliffies on World Cup Soccer.
Yes, yeah.
I'd say that's the worst machine for putting a Cliffy set on. Mm-hmm. Everything has to come off, but, it's easier than that. So if you survive that, you're okay. But it's not the easiest swap out. I don't know. It takes an hour or two. I wasn't really paying a lot of attention. I was kind of getting interrupted a lot with my kid running around and helping out here and there. But it wasn't too bad. It was just kind of a be careful type of thing.
Okay.
So.
Well, hopefully I'll try it soon. The two parts I need are impossible to find, apparently. So.
What is it you're looking for?
One of them is it's the part that the facing screws into. I forget the call. I think it's called face front. It's not the part that the decal goes on.
But okay.
Or maybe it is the part the decal goes on. Not the lens, though. Not the plastic cover in front of it. And the other one is the actual rod that the hand and minute hand and whatnot are attached to, that attaches back to the gears and the motor.
I'm surprised that not all of the pieces are, commonly reproduced.
Right. The back of it, I guess it's the back insert plastic, is a lot more complex. There's a lot more, looks like they had to do to tool it, and that one's pretty easy to find.
Yeah, that one's where all the gears rest in the back.
Right, yeah, so. You got it. So, I don't know, hopefully I'll find one soon.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's a cool feature. And funny enough, Tyson loves that clock.
I think it'll look weird with a clock in it now, since I've had it for so long with nothing there. And most people don't even notice that it's missing. Just so you can see the shots kind of easy.
Yeah, it's cool, though, when you've got the clock modes going, or when you just in the attract mode and it starts ticking and stuff. So, but I think that's about it. I'm going to be setting up the rest of my games here. I've got friends that are really hassling me to do so, not realizing what goes into that. But I'm still am on the lookout. I think I'm going to grab a color DMD for Attack from Mars, so maybe my next show I'll have that. If awesome. They get them in stock, but I'm itching to do that as well. So, yeah, it was pretty good. It's nice to be able to play my machines again, even though it's in limited numbers. But also played some location pinball, so I did it right this month.
Very good. Did you want to talk about the KLV thing now, or?
Yeah.
Okay. I totally forgot about it.
Do I want to, or will I?
You mentioned your awesome score on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I know you want to brag about it.
Okay, so over on KLOV, they are running a pinball league, and it's kind of an honor system type of league where it's very similar to the format of the RGP one that they ran, where basically you play games that are on an approved list of games, and the way that games get approved is they've had a certain number of games played on them, and they've got a good average and median from all the submitted scores. So you play two games, and it can be any two from the approved list, and submit your scores from it. And the way it kind of works is you can play as many warm-up matches as you want, just play. But as soon as you kind of declare, this is my league game, that's it. That's the score you have to accept. And then you record that score and submit it. Scoring is based off on how your score stacks up based on the against the median of the score. So you put in a score that's right there on the median, and you get a certain amount of points. If you're above that, you get more. And if you tank, like I did, and I'll talk about that in a second, you get 1 point, minimal points. So, obviously, just, you know, real simple. The better you score, more points you get. And then they accumulate week to week, and it's a running grand total at the end that determines the winner. And it's not playing for money or playing to go to any other tournaments or anything. It's a pride thing, but it's more than anything, it's just fun to kind of get in there in these message boards and talk to other players and, you know, see how everyone stacks up against you. And some days you have a good day, and some days you have a very bad day. And I had a really good day on my Attack from Mars, and had a atrociously bad day on my Spider-Man. So how did you do on your two games you submitted?
I picked CSI and Twilight Zone. I did okay on CSI. I was just above the median, so I got I got full credit, I guess. But the Twilight Zone, I did terrible. I played two practice games on each game, on both machines, I should say. And then my third game was my real one. So on my second game on Twilight Zone, I got about 300 million, which is okay. I was kind of happy with that. But on my third game, I got 96 million, which is not much on Twilight Zone.
No, you almost get that by hitting the skill shot.
Pretty much, yeah. It was pretty bad. But whatever, I'm going the honest route. Nobody can say I'm cheating.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, since you were a good sport and you actually revealed your scores, I'll reveal mine. So on the Attack from Mars, I hit, it was 9.9 billion.
Yeah.
Or was it 9.4? Almost 9.4. So a little under 9.4 billion, which was about double the median. So I got a good score on that one. But on my Spider-Man, I scored 20.3 million, which is, again, you can just about do that by hitting the skill shots and a few ramps. I had some interruptions, but I can't blame it on that. I mean, I'm not kidding when I said Tyson's last game was a higher score than mine. He at least started multi-ball.
So, did you just let the second and third ball drain? Or?
No, I just I took a phone call in the middle of the second call, and that one drained on me. And I played the third ball with the phone kind of between my neck and my face pinched in it while I was playing. And then my wife and son came in from a bike ride, and I thought it would be a good time to try and talk to him up the stairs. And yeah, it was,
okay. So,
but even at that, I could have beat 20 mil in one handed. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Our contest for next month will be come up with some creative excuses for Jeff to use on the next episode.
Either that or try and score lower than that.
No, so, that's impossible. What was I gonna? I lost my train of thought in there somewhere.
Well, good. You deserve it.
Yeah. Okay.
So
anyway,
no, it was a rough start, but it's fun.
It seems like a lot of work to get it started, though.
It is, so I appreciate what's going on.
Yeah, props to those guys.
You can jump in, like, on week two, week three. You're just a little bit of a handicap because you'll have no points for those weeks, but they let you jump in. So Gibbous is running it on KLOV, so talk to him if you want to get included. Mm-hmm. Or just start posting scores, and I think they'll start adding you into the running total. So.
Oh, I remember what I was going to ask you. On your Attack on Mars, you had a credit dot. And yeah. Do you know what that's all about? For people that don't know, whenever you have a little dot next to the score on a later Williams game, that means there's basically a switch error or some sort of service that needs to be.
I don't know what it is. Just because I walked over and played my Spider-Man immediately after it. I forgot to take the picture of my score, and I went back, and that's when I noticed the credit dot.
Oh.
Playing it, all my switches fired, so... I gotta check it out. But yeah, as I said on the Facebook group, it's pretty embarrassing posting a picture and having a credit dot in it. So
yeah, I had to put a little disclaimer on my post because I have a credit dot on Twilight Zone because the clock's disabled.
Yeah, and you know sometimes credit dots show up if you haven't hit a specific shot for a while.
Yeah,
because it thinks the switch is bad.
I had a permanent one on my Star Trek Next Generation. I never got it in the Borg ship ever.
You know what, though? I can't feel too bad because one of the guys I look up to most in this hobby is Rob Craig, which, you know who he is.
Yeah, great guy.
For those not out there, he co-hosts the Silverball podcast, which is a fantastic show. They put out, you know, two or three episodes a year. They're pretty busy guys, but he used to write a column for Game Room Magazine, Tales from the Silverball, the main image to lead into his article, he had a picture of his face, and then there were some games in the background. And I noticed the game closest to him had a credit dot, so
my eye always.
Yeah, my eye would draw to that every time I opened up the issue, and I just like, I guarantee he didn't know that was in there, or else it wouldn't have been the picture he used.
Put a little black piece of tape over it.
Yeah, something like that. So I can't feel too bad. Mine was just a little forum post. So, but yeah, I'll fix that. That's goal number one this week, is hunt down the reason for the credit dot and clear it. So. Yeah,
just curious. I didn't mean to drag that up.
No, yeah, I mean, got to keep me honest. So, I think that does it for what we've been doing. Unless there's anything else that you might have done that you're hiding
that's
from
funny.
Me.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, let's talk about our contest for the last month. It was a pretty standard, commonly asked question, and that was, what if you could only have two pinball machines? What would be your favorite pair? Why would it be, or would you go for a complementary thing or a contrasting type of theme, or what would it be? And we got a pretty good bunch of people responding back, and I don't know if there was some that stuck out to you as being a favorite. I'll just say that the two most commonly named games were Lord of the Rings plus X or Medieval Madness plus X, or commonly those two together, and Twilight Zone as well. So, was there any that you saw that you really liked or kind of wanted to mention?
Yeah, I think my favorite pairing, I'm looking at the thread here and I can't find who said it, but somebody mentioned having a DMD game next to an EM, and that was my favorite. Just two totally different experiences, two different, totally different, time zones, whatever.
Eras,
there you go, that's the word I'm looking for. Anyway, two totally different things right next to each other. It still fits the pinball bill. It still scratches the itch when you want to play some pinball, but it gives you a great taste of both areas. Another one I really liked was having two NBA fast breaks. I thought that was pretty funny because you can link them together.
It's at least a functional pair, right?
Yeah, right. Somebody else said Zingy Bingy and Playboy, which is pretty funny.
Oh, I thought the best comedy answer I thought was Shrek and Family Guy.
Yeah, that's a good one too. So, we had a couple of people that said, don't pick on Attack from Mars and Spider-Man, which, I don't know. I don't think they're that similar. It's got the same toy, and that's it. So, I would never pick on them.
If I look to my left, about 15 feet from where I'm recording, I have Spider-Man and Attack from Mars sitting next to each other. So, obviously, I don't think they're so similar that I wouldn't pair them. Or keep them in the same collection. I would like to say Spider-Man's a bit more of a spiritual successor than an outright,
It's an homage. Whatever. It's got a fun toy in both games. So.
Yeah, and the 3-drop target, I mean, that's showing up all over the place now.
Yeah,
so.
It's solid. A lot of people said Whitewater. Whitewater's like a favorite all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense, because Whitewater's a bit of an oddball as far as play goes.
Yeah. Well, it can be, it's got, like, instant gratification and that it's funny and it's fun, but it's got, long legs, too.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a good one.
Yeah, I drove by and checked on my Whitewater. It's still in the storage shed from the move. I went and caressed its side and gave it a little kiss and walked out with a tear in my eye. Mm-hmm. I'll be picking that up soon, but... Yeah, but like I said, by far and away, the three most named ones, I think, were Twilight Zone, Twilight Zone, Medieval Madness, and Lord of the Rings. I would say next would probably be Simpsons, Pinball Party, and Attack from Mars. Mm-hmm. And those were getting paired all over the place. I think the most common pairing is Twilight Zone and Medieval Madness. And that makes sense for me. You've got kind of a fast-flowing one, as well with a real shooters game. So
nobody really said Addams Family.
No, that surprised me. I thought that would be a real commonly mixed one as well.
I guess once you get the hang of it, it's kind of easy to finish.
Yeah, that's true. One that was mentioned as a good pairing was Tron and Attack from Mars. Both have the 3-bank drop in there.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously Tron uses it way differently. And, Attack from Mars doesn't have any upper flippers, whereas Tron has the side flipper. So. Some good contrast in game there. Plus, you've got just beautiful art on both games. So I think that those would look really nice together. You got a true back glass and Attack from Mars, and then you've kind of got the special lenticular translite in Tron. So that was one of my favorite pairings. But maybe that's just because I was playing Tron recently and came back and played my Attack from Mars. I don't know, but a lot of good suggestions out there. There's a thread up on Pinside that we started it, and the question's been asked multiple times, so this is probably just the most recent time it's been asked. But if you want to find it, just search best 1-2 punch in pinball, and you, on Pinside, you'll find the thread, and feel free to keep contributing there. But
We should mention Nick Manwaring emailed us, and he said Falcon next to Medusa, and nobody really talked about the actual aesthetics of the cabinets.
Exactly.
But that's his thing. It was a nice mix of colors, and he's right. It would look attractive in your game room, but it's not something I thought of as a pinball player right off the bat. So, way to think outside the box.
Now, this is going to expose me as too big of a nerd, but I didn't tell you this in the pre-show.
There we go.
But when I read that email that he sent in, I actually went and took pictures of both machines, a straight-on picture, and I photoshopped them together. They do look great.
You photoshopped them together.
It was break time at work, you know.
Well, did you save it? Can you post it on the...
I didn't save it. I was ashamed of my activities. I mean, that's like one step above playing with dolls there. So. Maybe I'll do it.
You're going to have to now, because now we're all interested in seeing it.
I don't know.
All right. I'll tape two pages together, because I'm not good at Photoshop.
It looked good, though. They would be fantastic, especially if you took the ones that, say, coin takers had in their hands for a little while.
Mm, yeah.
But
beautiful. But. So we had two winners who are going to win an unannounced prize, which is Jeff has a couple pin gulps. What are they, drink caddies that kind of attach to the leg bolts?
Yeah, from Pinball Life.
So user Frax on Pinside is one of our winners, and Joe Zenkis, who sent in an email, who's actually sent in several emails, so he's a long-time listener, so we appreciate that. But they're our winners, and we'll get in touch with you guys and make sure everything's kosher. And stay tuned to the end of the show or later in the show for our contest this month.
Yeah, and just to also, know about that, like if we notify these guys and for some reason they don't want the pin gulps or we can't get them to them, we'll pick a couple of other winners, but
sure.
I'm pretty sure they'll both take that. Anybody who's used those pin gulps and had any sort of gathering, they know how great they are. And I probably should have one on all my machines, but I don't. So yeah, guys, thanks for submitting those. We look forward to submissions for the next contest, which is going to be super awesome. So.
Super awesome.
And our prize is going to be probably the best we've done yet, wouldn't you think?
I would definitely say so.
So, well, all right, let's move on to some listener feedback. This is where people write in and they either tell us what we're doing wrong, what we are lucked into doing right, or just, you know, some nice comments. But why don't you run through some of what we got through email or our contact form on the website?
We actually had our first listener correction.
All right.
Listener Soren said, we talked about where the best place to look for tournament information is last time, and he said that the best place to go to is ifpapinball.com. So it's ifpapinball.com/calendar.php. Anyway, we'll put the link up. But he said that they have tournaments in all regions and countries, where Papa only lists the top, like, most prolific tournaments. So thanks for the feedback. That's information that I didn't have. And we'll be happy to put the link up and share it with you all.
And that's it for feedback.
Yeah, that was a biggie. We got a lot of comments on the contest and, you know, our comments to individual people. But anyway, whatever. It is what it is. So, Soren, we appreciate you keeping us on top of things.
Yeah, but feedback is something we do take quite seriously. In fact, it's changed our format a few times, so keep that coming in. It just makes us better.
Yeah.
And in fact, the whole featured five thing we started up last month, that's a result of feedback, and I think that one's here to stay.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit of news. It was a light month for news. Really, it was just, you know, Stern's X-Men kind of dominating the headlines and everybody's attention. So last month when we talked, they just barely rolled out the first images. And this month we have gameplay video. It was on Free Play and Comic-Con, and there was lots of people playing that. We've even seen videos of Under the Playfield and how the lighting is set up and such. So... What are some of your thoughts now that you've seen the game in action, both the Pro and the LE?
I've actually only seen one video. It's the first video that went up of actual gameplay, and I think it was the Wolverine LE. Mm-hmm. And what I watched, the player was just losing his balls left and right. It seemed to be like a drain monster, especially on the left side. It was very fast, and I noticed that they did use the red, white, and blue LEDs, kind of like AC/DC has. It's a great effect, which was, a lot of fun. I don't know if that's different on each machine, because it seemed to have more blue than AC/DC, obviously. I don't know if it's because it was the Wolverine one or not, but something that I noticed right away. I thought it looked pretty cool. The voices were kind of hokey, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of the quotes are kind of like wordy, like a little too... There's no punch to them. But again, I haven't played it, so I haven't been in front of it, like listening to it. The music kind of reminded me of Tron. Had like this kind of techno... I don't know, I was expecting the cartoon music, like the theme music from that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think a few of the things you said on I kind of had jump out at me the same way. And unfortunately, just for being busy, I haven't really been able to read the threads and such. So I don't know if we're going to be, naming common things. But one of the things that the voice work really jumped out at me, not that the quality was bad, but just the sound of them. I thought they were really similar a lot. And I know they're the voices that Marvel provided, right? Like their official...
I don't know. I remember seeing a thread about that. People were talking back and forth, but there wasn't any facts in there, I guess. It was just kind of a stipulation kind of thing. Speculation, rather.
For example, I guess kind of what... And I think the game does look like a lot of fun. It looks great, so this is really a minor thing, and I haven't stood in front of it. So, I'm here listening to video that's coming through compression and such. It's the internet, but... for example, when Magneto was talking, to me it didn't sound a lot like Magneto. It kind of sounded a lot like my next-door neighbor coming over to ask me, what I thought of the weather. It just didn't sound like a real menacing voice. I thought some of those voices could have had a bit more of an edge to them. They just sounded real casual, and like you said, they were quite wordy. But a lot of times voices change the way they're used, or voice clips change through version changes, but the voice actors generally don't. So I think we're kind of left with whatever voice actors they have. I don't know. I wasn't super impressed with those. It's something I probably could get used to.
We might grow to enjoy it. I'm glad it wasn't just movie clips. I'm kind of tired of that.
Yeah, it's definitely better than doing movie clips.
The thing that got me most excited was the DMD animations are awesome.
And they are.
When it popped up, like Omega Red, you're fighting Omega Red, I was like, oh my gosh, that's sweet. So,
all the different
animations they've seen looked really, really cool. I love, like, the actual animations, not just movie clips.
I agree with you there. And Omega Red, just knowing that he's in it, that's kind of cool, because he's not super obscure for the people who know X-Men, but he is for the mainstream.
Yeah.
So,
it's cool. They touched on in Brotherhood, and there's a lot of enemies in it. It looks like there's a lot more shots based on different X-Men. Like, oh, that's the Iceman shot. Oh, that's the Gambit shot or whatever, which I thought that was pretty cool. It's easier to call out to people who are playing, oh, you need to hit Iceman now, instead of saying, oh, you need to hit the second loop from the left.
Right. You gotta hit the left orbit. What's an orbit? Well, an orbit's the one that goes up. Right. Yeah.
And then the ball's drained by the time you get it out.
Yeah, and I don't know. Overall, I think it looked like a lot of fun. It played a lot faster than I thought it would. I thought it looked very kind of deliberate, but it seems to be really random, actually. The way those magnets are working, they're throwing the ball pretty wild. You get a lot of instances where you shoot up and it comes back at you in a really unexpected manner. So it's probably going to play really well on location, be really unpredictable. We'll have to see if that hurts it as far as tournament goes, since it's a little bit unpredictable. But I don't know that Stern's trying to make a tournament here, tournament game here. They're more aiming for, the next real players game. So.
I'm excited to try it.
Yeah. So, I don't go to Comic-Con each year. I actually for a few seconds considered it. Now I'm a little bit regretting that I didn't, even though I probably just hung out at the Stern booth the whole time, but whatever. It looked like people playing there are having a good time.
Yeah. There's a lot of variety in the different folks playing, too. The pictures, they've been putting Facebook pictures up all weekend. And there's, you know, all different walks, so pretty cool.
Lots of cleavage.
Lots of cleavage, yeah. Lots of cosplay.
I guess that's just kind of the angle of the camera and the style of attendee that you have it.
I didn't really see any complaints about that, though.
No, I didn't see anybody complaining. Yeah. Well, then, that's about it for X-Men that I thought to mention. I still really like the artwork. Mm-hmm. I thought it looks real nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't changed, but... As this gets into people's hands, by our next show, people will have owned this, so we'll really get some deep impressions in. So,
yeah, and if you played one, let us know. Let us know what you think about it.
For sure.
I'd love to share some of our listeners' feedback on here.
Yeah, and I'm still excited about the game. I have a friend who's considering buying one. He's getting a little wishy-washy, but he knows he wants a pinball machine. He doesn't own one at this time. And X-Men's on his list of considerations, so I'm kind of hoping he goes that way. I'd love to have one nearby. But So, that wraps it up for X-Men. But, Don, you kind of dug something up from the past, and we'll play a little bit of gaming here with it. But what's this this price guide you found?
This kind relic? My friend David was given an old Expo game to repair, basically. Somebody bought one, didn't work, and David's really good with EMs. So he said, oh, here's this box of parts, and here's the game, you know, check it out. So in that box, he found a price guide from 1997. It's written by, I think it was Larry Biza. Yeah, Larry Bieza. So it came out in 1996, but it's a 1997 guide. I guess that's why NBA Fast Break and Scared Stiff weren't in here. But the prices, it is so funny to see just the huge change in the last 15 years. So the way he sets them up in here, he's got like different articles. He doesn't have a top 20 list in here. The ones he has are for wood rails and what he calls metal rails, which appear to be later EM games. Which, by the way, guess what the number one metal EM game is? Metal rail EM game. So that's 1960 through 78.
Oh, boy.
Basically, what's the most popular EM?
From the time? Oh, I thought you were asking me to base my guess off what the most popular is today. Oh, the number one EM. Is it... I'm trying to think. I mean, tastes have changed so much.
Do you want to hint?
Is it Jack's Open?
No.
Damn.
It's got a more distinct theme. But do you want a hint?
Yeah.
They made a home version.
There were several.
It's still a big game. It's still sought after. It actually makes sense in number one. And I want to say they did a solid state version of this too. Because they released a classic version.
Okay. That does narrow it down. All right. I'm not gonna get it though. I don't think so.
It was Fireball.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course. And he's got $1,500 down for the EM version of Fireball.
See, when you said classic, that should have got it right there. Not a bad pick. I mean, I know a lot of people that would say that today. It probably wouldn't be a consensus number one by any means, but it is a favorite. So.
And he's got like four million BC and. Slick Chick and Buckaroo, kind of some of the more standard ones in here.
Yeah, I managed the... So. Yeah, less variation in the EM world than the solid state, so... Well, the game we thought we'd play is Don would throw some titles at me, and I would try and guess their price range. Do you want to do this kind of how the Silverball guys play the eBay game, where I have to hit it within a certain amount to get it right, or...?
Yeah, you want to say... What do you want to say within... $200 or something?
Give me 250 since...
$250 bucks.
I haven't been following pinball prices since, definitely not in the 90s, so I don't know. So this will be fun. Some of our listeners have been, you know, longtime collectors. They're going to be laughing at how far off I am, but let's do it. Right. So, yeah, give me some titles, and I'll do my best to to try and guess.
Well, I'll throw you a slow pitch then. Yeah. What do you think about Whirlwind? Whirlwind was about 7 years old at this point. And the way Larry rates him is like A, B, C, D, an A value, a B value, etc. So A would be basically what our current price guide goes by, like a nice version, down to D, okay. Which is, oh, I'm sorry, class 4, which is like missing plastics and heavy wear and whatnot.
Okay, well, let's assume they're all in good shape.
Okay, so we'll focus on the A's.
Yeah, okay.
So Whirlwind.
Whirlwind, huh? Let's see. 7 years old at the time.
So seven years ago, Simpsons is even older than that. So 7 years ago was like what, Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say he said $900.
Ah, you're very close. $850.
Oh, okay. Woohoo!
So inflation has kind of kept that one about the same ballpark.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
And then that's a game where I always say you're getting more for your money than. You know, in a lot of other areas. So, mm-hmm. Okay, we got that one right. One for one.
One for one. And actually, since it's right near the W's here, what about Waterworld? Waterworld came out in 95.
Oh, boy.
So it was only a year or two old in this one.
I will say 1,400.
2,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're picking up Whirlwinds for $900 now, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm one for two.
So let's do a couple games that we've had on the show previously we've talked about. What about Bride of Pinbot? I can't remember if we talked about this before the show or not.
Let's see.
Oh, by the way, Bride of Pinbot, which is commonly referred to as Bride of Pinbot at this point, it's called The Machine in here, and it's under the T's for the.
So, yeah, if you pick up the book, now there's some quirks.
It's the only the in here, by the way.
Okay. Not The Getaway, huh?
No, that's probably under G's.
Okay. All right, so Bride of Pinbot at that time, in 97. I mean, everyone was DMD crazy, but, you know, the Pinbot family's always done well. I'm going to say 800.
You're pretty close. 900 for a nice one.
Okay.
750 for a class 2.
Okay, so... I mean, that one's obviously gone up in value since then. Mm-hmm. But.
It's held its own.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the 200. I think the 250 throws it off with the $50 thing in there. So.
Yeah, it's too much math.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm half a
so beer. I'm two for three. I'm pretty happy with that right now.
Two
so.
For three.
Let's keep going.
So what about Shadow? We talked about that just two episodes ago, I think.
Ah, wow. That's hard.
Shadow was kind of a dog theme. Again, it was only a year too old in this one. It came out in 95.
Yeah.
But it's kind of gotten legs lately as a collector game.
Yeah, I'm really trying to rack my brain hard if the Shadow had that Twilight Zone effect around that time period. I'll say 1,900.
Oh, you're on the right track, 1,800.
Okay, I got that one.
Yeah, you got that one. I'm a little surprised, but very good. Okay. But you mentioned Twilight Zone, that's kind of the big daddy.
Yeah.
What does Twilight Zone go for in 1997?
I remember Twilight Zone they sold a ton to distributors, and then they had to blow them out because it didn't do as well on location as they thought. Yeah. It's kind of a I'm gonna go with my gut, and I'm gonna say 1,300.
You're real close. 1,250.
Oh, bam. Okay.
And $1,000 for a B-class Twilight Zone. So for just $1,000 less than Stargate, you can pick up a Twilight Zone.
Man, I would have bought five of them back then. It's basically a five for one back then.
You'd be sitting pretty, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
What about Funhouse? Funhouse is one that's been up and down over the years.
Yeah, it has, and it's up now. I'll tell you if I've been looking. I'm going to say... $1,600
$1,200.
Ah, didn't get that one. Yeah. That's a steal for a funhouse.
Not bad.
No.
What about my favorite, Judge Dredd?
Let's see. Judge Dredd was a 93 or was a 94 game?
I want to say it's 94.
So.
93 is late 93.
Yeah, that was a great year for pinball. I'm gonna say. 1,400.
1,400, 1,200.
Oh, Yes.
Just got it.
Just got that one.
So,
okay.
Just leafing through here, any guesses on what the most expensive game in here is? There's one that's about $300 higher than everything else at this point.
In 97, huh? 97. I would guess Adam's Family.
Let me double check your Adam's Family, but that's not the one.
Oh, dang it.
That's not the one. Oh, yeah. No, it's not under the T's. He's got to have it in the A's here. Adam's Family, 1600. No.
Oh, so 1600 is all for an Adams back then, right?
Yeah, that's it for an Adams. That's when you go low end games. Meanwhile, Batman Forever, 2300.
Oh,
all day.
Hot off the movie hype, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Good thing they didn't make a Batman and Robin pinball. Nobody could have bought that one.
Be through the roof.
Yeah.
Be like $3,000 in here.
So Batman and Robin was the number one expensive game in 1997.
No, it's still not.
Oh, no.
It's not, but it is pretty close. The highest one in here is a game I've actually never even played. It's Indianapolis 500.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's got just its youth going for it, because it came out in 95.
Yeah.
But $2,400. I haven't found anything that touches that.
Wow.
No Fears at 23, which came out just a couple months prior, so...
Be truthful with me here, Don. Did you wear No Fear shirts in junior high?
I did not. I was one of the punk kids that didn't like that kind of stuff. So
I didn't wear any either, and I just kind of thought it was a little silly. But, man, they were everywhere.
Yeah, they were. yeah. That's another story for another day. What about Maverick? Show favorite Maverick.
Well, one's locally going right now for $1,400. And I'm going to say that was a fair price then. It's a fair price now, so $1,400.
$1,400, pretty close. $1,500.
Okay, so it's gone down a little bit since 1997.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want one, I've got one locally for $1,400.
Save a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And I wrote down our featured game, because a couple of people complained that we did not do a featured game last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will... Don't hang up yet. Don't push pause yet. We will have a featured game this episode.
Yeah.
Coming right up. I was trying to look for like a cheap DMD game on here. I'm not really seeing anything that's...
No, it was... Nothing was old enough. Or,
Yeah.
I guess everybody at that point hadn't already played everything, so people weren't rotating collections and such, so...
Yeah. Oh, well. Transporter, $600. I would kill for a $600 Transporter.
Yeah, well, what about Rescue 911?
Oh, you think that's in here? Is that old enough?
I don't know.
I would rather not have a Rescue 911. I know that. $1,300.
Yeah, that's...
Am I talking to the mic? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Okay, I do have to know, since it was my first machine ever, what did we got for the Data East Simpsons?
Simpsons.
1993 AMOA game of the show. Or 92.
It was a slow year.
Hey.
Simpsons. Let's see, at this time it was about 6 years old, came out December 90, $775 for a class one.
Oh, maybe that's why we got that for Christmas.
Scrape in the barrel, yep. Meanwhile, Shack Attack, about twice that.
Okay, it wasn't 97. Oh, that's cold. You can't do that to me. Yeah. No, I got that Simpsons back in like 92 or 93, so it wasn't that old yet. So.
I'm surprised class one games... Almost every single one in here is less than $100 for a class one game. And the way he defines class one, I think I talked about it a little bit, like broken, missing plastics, missing paint on the back glass, like 4 or more square inches of paint missing.
Oh, man.
Major streaks on the and chipping on the cabinet. I pay $50 for a lot of these games.
Yeah.
Even in that condition. $100 for a Black Knight 2000.
Really?
Yeah, all day, man.
Go. The only game I wouldn't pay that for is probably South Park.
Oh, you think South Park was out when this came out?
No, I'm just saying that's the only game I wouldn't pay the $100
for. No, I know. I don't like the game either. There's actually a guy put a post up here locally, like, looking for a South Park. And I said, so you're kind of new to the hobby, huh?
There are some people who like it, but I told you, I've never finished 3 balls on it. I've walked away on ball 2 every time. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, is it in there? I think that's, let's see, 97.
I went right past it.
That's kind of like at the mesh point with Stern and Sega, right?
Yeah, no, it's not in here.
Is it 98 that Stern was starting to reissue some of the Sega stuff, or?
Did it get reissued? South Park?
No, I just know that. Some are Sega. There's no Stern South Parks, are there?
I don't think so. I think it's all.
Yeah, I think Sega. It's okay.
Anyway, it's well, all cool. Right. Thank you, David, for sharing this with us. It's a semi-legit price guide. Like, there's the very first ad in it is a full-page ad for Pinball Resource.
So, man, he's been around.
This guy, Larry Baeza, when I Googled him, I found that he wrote a lot of books about pinball. Most of them, he did like whatever these are, price guides for a couple of years. But a lot of the ads in here are just from private collectors, and it's just like lists of games they're looking for. Even the back cover of this is a list of games that he's looking for.
Just had to get the word out. I mean, internet was pretty feeble back then for probably doing some of the trading.
Yeah.
I mean, it was around, but
yeah.
RGP.
Anyway, thank you, David, for sharing that. It's pretty fun. Kind of cool to look at. And wow, yeah. Just to see the difference in price is pretty amazing. And when he told me Twilight Zone was $1,200, so it's like, oh, man, can I check that out? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, cool. So there's a few upcoming events. What are some that you wanted to mention?
We had a fan on the Game Warp, on the Facebook page, talking about Game Warp, which is gamewarp.org. I think I lost it here. Gamewarp.org is in 2 weeks, July 27th through 29th. It is in Florida. Let me pull up the city here. It's down in Orlando. So they've got several video games. They've got several pins. I'd say maybe 50 arcade games, maybe 30 or 40 pins. They've got both versions of Ice Cold Beer, some pachinko machines and stuff. It just looks like a kind of a cool local show. They're getting the ball rolling. So looks like a lot of fun.
Check it out. Cool. A couple of other real big ones coming up as well, right?
Yeah, there's some big ones. California Extreme is next weekend. 2 weeks, no. Same weekend, other side of the country. CAExtreme.org is the website. But this one I've heard is really cool. It's like a huge free play thing. They bring in a lot of kind of oddball machines you don't see anywhere else. That Adams Family that runs on a bicycle power.
Yeah.
I think they always bring that thing out. I've heard that one's a lot of fun. And then just 2 weeks after that is Papa 15 up in Pennsylvania. So check out papa.org, papa.org. If you're really good at pinball, that's like one of the coolest places to go to play in a major tournament. They've got just hundreds of games in great condition. And I think you pay per game to play, but the tournament is so frenzied that I've heard a lot of the games are just not touched because they're not part of the tournament. So you get to kind of just tool around and play all these great games. So
yeah.
I've always wanted to go. I've never been, but that's supposed to be a lot of fun. And I love their shirts. I can't wait to see the new Papa logo.
Oh, I know. Yeah, attending a Papa is on my short list, yeah, so definitely. I want to get to one.
So there's stuff going on in the Midwest, on the East Coast, and the West Coast. So lots to do this month.
Yep. Well, cool. Well, let's get into our newest segment or feature, whatever you want, where we do our featured five, top five, whatever you want to refer to it as. We name five things under a common theme. And this month's is we're going to talk about five AAA games where we change something about them. So, you know, whether we don't like a certain shot or whatever, but they're limited to kind of, you know, some of the top games out there. And I guess we'll hit them back and forth. Sure. You'll do one, I'll do one until we're through our five. And by no means does this mean we dislike these games. It's just something we with our limited knowledge of pinball design, would change things. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start out? What's your first thing that you would change, and what game?
Okay. Mine, it's kind of a minor thing, but it's something that always kind of irritated me. And it's on Theater of Magic. On the trunk, there's four sides to the trunk. One of the four sides, there's a hole in the trunk with a green light bulb in it. And that green light bulb always bugged me. I don't know why it's there. I don't understand it. It's just this random hole in the trunk with a light bulb in it. When I owned a Theater of Magic, I actually took one of those little like candles that have the on-off switch on them, like an LED candle. And I took the little little fake fire wick out and put it on a coin taker LED and turn it into like a little flame. Just so it'd be like a little flame in there instead of this weird green light. So my change is to maybe just change the molding on the actual trunk plastic into like a padlock or a key or a hand like reaching out of the trunk, or, you know, it's pretty small, but I think a padlock would probably be the easiest one. And then just have that be kind of translucent, and maybe the padlock lights up or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an aesthetic thing that always irritated me.
Yeah, it's kind of like on Fishtails, once I noticed that the fisherman on the side art has two thumbs. Don't look at it, Don. Don't look at it. Don't do it. Because once you notice...
You can't go back.
You can't go back.
Okay.
So... All right, well, that's your first one. My first one, and this is a pretty simple one, is on Tales of the Arabian Nights. I just think they need to eliminate that you can purchase jewels. Just out of the bazaar, it just would make it harder to finish the game.
How dare you? That game is flawless.
It's too tempting, and I know if I just didn't buy them, that's my choice, but I've got people talking smack about how, oh, I can finish that game. Well... Yeah, how many of the jewels did you buy? So
the only way I can finish that game is if I buy 5 jewels.
There we go.
That's the only time I've seen the end of that game.
And I don't want you to see the end of that game, so that's my number one.
that's a good one. I like that one.
Okay.
My next one is Champion Pub.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess before this, we've only been picking on Papa Duke. But Champion Pub, I'd like there to be maybe like some kind of jump ramp in the center. Maybe one that pops up from under the game, like on the old baseball games or something. It's cool hitting the two little side ramps to hit his gut and his face. But I think there should be like an uppercut shot where like a small jump ramp comes right at the middle. You can nail him right in the head or something.
Okay. Yeah. Fun game. Yeah, I like that game.
A little more variety. Which we talked a little bit about that. I could use a little changes in rules and a little more depth and whatnot.
Yeah, a little rule depth. So, and I think, to get back on Papa Duke's case, Circus Voltaire has kind of the same issue yeah. rules, but all right. That's a fair one. My next one, and this is from one of my favorite games, Lord of the Rings, on the Path of the Dead. I wish that it was a little bit more skill based. I mean, you can nudge a bit, but you're really kind of at the mercy of gravity on that Path of the Dead. Either that or make it controllable like Indiana Jones' Path of Adventure, yeah. where you can rotate it back and forth. Something just to make that Path of the Dead a little more skill-based or interactive. Maybe, like I said, nudging have a greater effect on it. So
I'm trying to think of what game it was where you can... There's like flames. It's got kind of basically the same thing, Path of the Dead, but it's got little flames, and you hit the flippers to change where the flames are. So basically you're just lighting different lights, and you're trying to hit each switch to light all four lights.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Indiana Jones? I don't think it had two of those little upper playfields. Now I can't think of what game it was. That's gonna.
Yeah, I don't know which one you're referring to. It's gonna drive me crazy.
It's gonna drive me crazy. I bet what it was is a pinball effects game.
I bet you
that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, yeah, just some kind of interactivity. I could see that. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, because there's been some great mini playfields as far as nudging goes. Jackbot, Bride of Pinbot. You know those. Pinbot, they have a great little nudging tables, but you know, whatever. So, all right, what's your next one?
Well, a disclaimer is that John Papaduke's probably my favorite pinball designer. I promise, I love his games. I sold my Theater of Magic, and I've regretted it every day since. But World Cup Soccer, I'd like there to be a little more texture on the ball. You'd think that big, like I have a brand new ball. It's very rubbery. It's very sticky. But it seems like a lot of times the ball just kind of will get stuck on the side until it rolls to one side or the other. I want like maybe little nubs or ridges or something on the ball that really makes it kick the pinball around.
Yeah, I did a restoration on World Cup Soccer, and I bought a new ball from Gene Cunningham. He used the original molds. That one seemed a little grippier to me than the... repros that are out there, but not by a whole lot. So yeah, maybe some little studs on the bottom, or maybe some real grippy tape or something that can go along that.
I mean, I bought mine from Gene too, and it's definitely better than the ball that it came with. But even if like kind of the seams that go between the patches on a soccer ball, maybe that would just be enough to like bounce.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. At the speed it spins. A quick question: did the ball that you buy from Gene, did it stink like really bad?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to leave it in the plastic bag until you're absolutely ready to use it.
Woo! That thing was bad. Strong. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that one for sure.
Okay. So, what's up next?
Next one, and I just talked about stealing from this game, but this is something I think they did wrong, is Indiana Jones, the Williams version, that dang start mode, the saucer, and I know you could mod it to make the bounce out not as bad, I know it gets bounced, but I hate how close it is to the flippers, yeah. The mode start saucer. If there was any way that they could design it back further, or a different way to start modes, I would have appreciated it, because I had friends just get, you know, frustrated at that bounce out that you get on that, especially when it's not the easiest shot to make, but pretty simple.
Can't you just move the wires over to a standard target or something, and then
you could, but
problem solved.
You'd probably hit it too often. Yeah, so
starting modes left and right.
Yeah.
So my next one, I looked at the list of top 100 games instead of AAA games. I would not consider this one a AAA game at all.
Close enough.
But Junkyard. A game of, like, infinite missed potential, in my opinion.
Yeah, beautiful game.
Yeah, great-looking game, very cool idea, just not that much fun to play. I would just simply like to see the crane move a little bit, either left or right, so sometimes you can hit the shot behind it, sometimes it's got, like basically a pendulum, so it's like a pinball hanging in the middle of this large open area, and, you know, I'd like it to be able to hit targets around the circle a little easier.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's always in the way when you don't want it in the way, and then you just get frustrated with the game and you go play something else.
Yep, and that's a game I've almost bought a couple times, but it's just too expensive for what it is. Yeah. It's fun, like, as for casual people, you very quickly can make progress in the game, but yeah, I, again, 100% agree with that one. So, my next one, I feel like I'm getting snobby here, picking, like, I'm getting all pinball hipster, but Medieval Madness, I would take those trolls and move them to the orbits.
Okay, so we just lost half our listeners then.
I know, Lord of the Rings, Medieval Madness.
You would move the trolls? That's like the best part.
No, I hate where they're at.
I love them.
I just feel like they're just drained. They're trolls in the sense that they're trolling you. Like, they show up and, hey, hit me so you can go straight down the middle. It's funny.
Straight down the middle? The castle is straight down the middle.
The castle's pretty bad, but the trolls, I don't know, I just always run into them, and if I swear I hit the left one and it bounces to the right, that ball's coming straight down the middle, and I'm either shaking the crap out of the machine or trying to... I think that they'd be a little more effective in the orbits, because they're actually blocking some shots a little bit more effectively.
I like that idea.
In the orbits, but... plus, they'd be harder to hit. I think you score a lot of the troll hits unintentionally, especially if multi-ball's going, and they're just... they're down really quickly, or you drain immediately because they send the ball straight down. So I don't know if it would be better or worse. I wish they were in the orbits.
Well, so, it's a cool idea. Kind of like the, can't think of what they're called, but like the targets on Stargate move up and down. So if you had them in the orbits, obviously they go underneath the play field, so they'd be out of the way when they need to be out of the way.
Right.
So we just need to find somebody with a Medieval Madness who's willing to cut holes in the outlane, or in the, orbits and install extra trolls.
Yeah, just try it out, guys.
No big deal. Yeah, they make repros, right?
They drill for the third magnet in Twilight Zone all the time.
I know, so. People are nuts to do that.
I want to do it.
I want to do it, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah, so
that's an interesting idea, but I disagree. I think they're awesome.
Okay, that's fair. I just, like I said, maybe it's just because I've had a lot of fierce competitions on that game, and far too often I've lost my ball because I hit the troll where it's like a shot I'm supposed to be making right now, and it's punished me by going straight down the middle one too many times. But I don't know. It's probably just me raging against me making a bad shot too often. So
if you were a better player and you stored up more troll bombs, you could pretty much just sit there and hit the start button a couple times, or the plunge button, and just knock them out, right?
Well, troll bombs make me feel cheap, kind of like in... Monster Bash, you know?
You earned them. It's basically like getting a special.
I know. So, I don't know. I just would like to see how it would play with them in the orbits.
Yeah, so. Cool idea. All right, my final one is gonna really sound like heresy, and all the listeners we just lost with your Medieval Madness remark, we're going to lose the rest of them. I would like adjustable outlanes on Pinbot.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with you on that.
I'm not a good player, but I love Pinbot, and far too often the balls are just... Those outlanes are some of the worst in all of pinball. They're just... killer. And I just want adjustable outlanes. The people who like the difficulty can leave them where they're at, and people like me can close them off.
If you get the ball in the slingshots in that, I think it's almost 50-50 you're getting a side drain. You got to keep the ball out of the slings in Pinbot, or you're in trouble.
Half the time coming out of the pop bumpers, it just shoots across into the left out, lane. So.
Well, you're in space. Maybe there's some mini black holes out there. I don't know.
Yeah, right. I should. Does remind me. I bought a Stern Iron Maiden a couple years ago, and when I went to pick it up, they had taken hair ties and put them on the outlanes, like on the posts.
I've seen that.
So the ball literally couldn't drain on the sides.
Yeah, that's too extreme. But no, I agree with you because, my uncle used to have a home use only.
Oh yeah.
Pinbot and I agree with that.
All right, what's your last one?
Well, my final one, and I waffled over several, and this is gonna sound downright insulting the way I'm putting it, but Black Knight 2000, make the right flipper, the left flipper matter. I feel like it's one of those one-handed games. It's just, you're just slapping that right flipper button constantly.
Yeah.
Just one after the other after the other. And I just kind of wish there was some more to do with the left flipper. But it's not there. So, I don't know. If there's any others that you thought about putting in that you left off that you could, without getting into too much detail about it, but you want to run down honorable mentions or dishonorable mentions, however you want to go. Is there any that you had that you didn't mention?
I didn't have any dishonorable ones. I actually did think of Black Knight because the upper playfield just seems way too big to me. That's a game that it's probably my favorite looking pinball machine, and I love the theme song, but I don't think I'd ever own one because I'm terrible at it. It's too short of shots on the lower playfield, and it's too short of shots on the upper playfield. So it's kind of like two small pinball, two small playfields.
Right.
I've just never had much fun with it.
I had a couple that I scratched because I thought they were a little too minor. One was with the fishtails to make the boat shots. And this is absolutely heresy as far as this game goes. Make them unbalanced because they're too easy for me to chain. I could just go left, right, like nuts on those things.
Well, that
I know that's part of the charm, but... rocking that boat, but I just something to make it where they come off the flippers differently on the flipper would have been nice for me.
Well, it's funny you mention that because that's the first game that came to mind. Is like Fishtails is one of my least favorite games, but it's a game that everybody seems to like, so I was kind of wondering what I thought was wrong with it.
Yeah,
and first time I played it, I thought the boat rocked left to right. I think if maybe it did that, just rocked left to right, it would probably change the way the ball comes out of it.
Yeah, that would help. Maybe it was drainy. I don't know. But then the last one that I almost threw in there is on World Cup Soccer 94. you've got the goal saucer. You know, you kick it into the goal. I don't know about a way that you could either make that video-based or something. It's a pretty brainless shot just to slap it. It's cool. It's a fun toy. But... I don't know. Maybe if the keeper's movements were random.
Yeah, I was just going to say, make his movement sporadic.
Whatever it is.
Make him pause occasionally on either the left or the right.
Yeah, something like that would have been better. And to not appear too biased, here's my last one. I wish Attack from Mars had a decent skill shot. Whether it was video-based, kind of like Jurassic Park, or...
Yeah, what is it? Just highlighting the upper lanes?
The fact that you don't pull it, that could have fixed it, is if it would have been a plunger, and rather than being able to switch the light with your things, if it would have been fixed, so you just had to plunge right. Just, to me, the game's perfect aside from the fact that it doesn't have a real skill shot.
One of my biggest changes to pinball, period, would be get rid of the button plungers. I don't like button plungers.
Yeah, I don't either. But all right, well, I hope everybody out there is not spitting mad at us.
I know, man. We should both think... apology cards to John Papaduk. I think we ripped his games a little too hard.
I own their great games.
Dude, I love John Papaduk games. So, the only two games I think I bought that worked right out of the, right off the bat were Papaduk games. I actually paid, book for my World Cup and my Toe Tan.
So, no, we Like I said, none of these were serious.
No, no, just little things that we wanted to
except for the trolls. Move those stupid trolls.
Get in virtual pin and see if somebody can mod it out for you.
I ought to try that.
I will say, so. CSI has these two posts that pop up in the orbit. So basically, there's never an orbit shot in the game, which is irritating. So I turned them off this week. I wonder if it would be an issue like that. Like, you're just constantly never getting the satisfaction of an orbit. Just frustrating in itself.
Yeah, it could be. I'm sure these are things they play with, so...
I don't know. Okay, well, it's a good idea. Something I
armchair designer here, so...
Yeah, armchair designer. Well,
Well, I hope everybody liked that, and I'd love to see some discussion on that, so maybe we'll start up a thread and get some more people in on it. I didn't want to start the discussion beforehand because I wanted us to be first.
Yeah.
Just selfishness there, so... well, let's move on to our featured machine. Let's say some nice stuff, and we're going to do a pair of them this month, and I'll let you explain why. So what are we highlighting real quick?
Well, because she's got a beautiful pair, right? Of pinball
there
machines.
There we go.
Yeah. We're going to do Elvira's Scared Stiff and Elvira and the Party Monsters. Those are our featured machines. And Elvira and the Party Monsters, I don't know. Let's just want to get right out of the box. Which one do you prefer out of the two?
I don't know how to answer that, to tell you the truth. I mean, they're both fun games. I probably slightly lean towards the Party Monsters.
Okay.
But they're both fun games. I think the reason being that I lean towards Party Monsters, I think it's a bit more challenging overall.
I can see that. Party Monsters is my easy favorite on that. I like both games, but Party Monsters is just... To me, it's got a lot of humor. It's got awesome music. I love the music on that. And the call-outs are great.
It's just dripping in style. Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic.
The center drain is kind of annoying. Before I fixed it and, like, really dialed it in, I was draining down the middle all the time out of that little saucer at the top.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's kind of location machines always have that issue. Yeah. So, I think looking at the two, I think Scared Stiff, probably the art looks more Elvira. Party Monsters is a little bit more colorful, say. But they're both great games. There's an Elvira Scared Stiff on location nearby. And it's kind of one of the reasons I've never had the itch to own it, because I can go out there and, you know, I can run through the game fairly easy. But it's always fun. Most games that I finish easily, I lose interest in over time. But this is one of those ones I still find it fun every time. I think it has a lot to do with the humor. Again, the art on Scared Stiff is fantastic. It looks beautiful, especially a nice clean one. And I've always noticed that that's one of those games that people still stop and watch you play when you're playing. Mm-hmm. Pinball's losing a lot of passing interest, but... That's a machine where people, when you really get it making noise and really get it going crazy, they stop and look.
So. Well, you never know what it's going to say next.
And the dragon ramp.
Yeah, what is it? Bone monster or something?
Bone monster. Yeah, it's... Yeah, not dragon. So cool looking. it's so cool looking. But
it is awesome looking. I wish it wasn't just the one ramp, you know? I wish it had more variety to it. Maybe, like, the back of it moves or something, like the Iceman ramp or, you know, something like that. Like, it diverts the whole bone skeleton.
Well, part of the reason that we chose these two games, obviously they're both Elvira games, so they have that in common, but they have another thing in common, and that would be the artist. So what's the point of singling out Greg Ferraris this month?
His birthday's on Tuesday. So happy birthday, Greg.
Yes, definitely. And Greg Ferraris is... definitely on my short list of great pinball artists. He's produced some fantastic stuff, you know, going way back up until today, what he's been doing with Woe Nelly. So, yeah, guys, if you haven't played either one of these games, it's one of those games that you hear talked about a lot, both of them, and you just might think, oh, they're Elvira fans or thing, but no, they're both really accessible, fun games, and you can't help... No matter how much of a prude you might be, but to crack a smile when you're playing both these games, because there's going to be a joke in there that's going to hit you just right, or several in most people's cases. But like I said, I think we both lean towards Party Monsters. Luckily for many, that's the more economical buy if you're looking to pick one up. But they're both quite a bit of fun. How do you feel as far as collection goes? Do you think they're good standalones, or do you think they're more complementary type games?
I would say they're both more complementary type games. If you only have one band and you're just into the pop culture of it, I think they're fine on their own. But they're just, there's not a ton of depth to either one of them. There's not a ton of shots. They both have fun shots, you know.
Yeah.
As easy as the lock cool is ramps. On Elvira and the Party Monsters, it basically just shoot the left loop or the left, you know, most outside shot. But it's cool. You know, it's fun. Dennis Nordman actually designed both pins with Greg Ferris. And they both said Elvira was a lot of fun to work with. She was cool with whatever they did. She still, like, does some degree of pinball promotion now, even though she says she doesn't get any money from royalties on it anymore or whatever.
Yeah, she's still pretty cool with the fans, too. So, and there's always rumblings that a third one might be coming.
That would be great.
We'll have to see. So,
yeah, I don't see it happening unless it's, like, a boutique type, you know, 100 units.
Right. All right, well, what's the fair price for each one of these that you would consider fair?
You know, Scared Stiff is hard to say. That one seems to go through the roof and then kind of cools off constantly. I would guess, I don't know, what, between 25 and 35 for Scared Stiff?
Yeah, that's probably the typical standing. And then obviously collector's quality, you can see it
going
shoot
even,
up quite
even
a bit
further.
Higher.
But even when I say between 25 and 35, that's a wide swing there, so... I would say if you get one for 25, you'll get your money back when you decide to pass it along down the road. Elvira and the Party Monsters is one that's usually in rough shape. The cabinet's usually pretty beat. The playfield's beat. Supposedly they're going to make new playfields, but I haven't seen it. They did just recently, I think about a year ago, they released a new plastic set. Classic playfield did. But I paid $500 for mine. I sold it for $8.
That's a good deal. I think actually both purchased it in the condition you did, and then what you sold it are fair.
Yeah, I probably could have gotten more. I think a lot of them go for like $1,100, $1,200, $1,300 in shape, and you know up to $1,800 for a really nice one, I'd say.
Yeah, and so with the whole Elvira thing, like I said, it's one that you're going to get your money back out of it, what you put into it, unless you severely overpay. So,
and you're going to have fun with it. They're straight up fun games. You don't ever walk away from it just being like, oh, I hate this thing. You know, there's very little frustration because you do have a smile on your face the whole time you're playing.
Yeah. So, and there's some decent, mods. They're not deeply moddable, but there's some out there. So
the only one I did to my Party Monsters is I put the Scared Stiff flippers on it. Which the flipper paddles on Scared Stiff look like little bony like fingers,
yeah.
And they both games actually have a lot of bones on them and like bone art along the feeder lanes. So it looked perfect. It looked awesome. It looks better than the lightning bolt flippers.
Art and innuendo.
Yeah.
But, so, well, cool. I don't know anything more you want to say about them. They're both fun games and. Like I said, we're talking a little bit about Greg being his birthday this next week, but great art on both of them. A lot of fun. Maybe not the most kid-friendly themes, but they're not harmful in any way. So most of the humor that would be considered inappropriate for little ones is going to go over their head anyway. So
it's the wife
that might raise an eyebrow, right?
Yeah. One thing to look for on Scared Stiff is a lot of times the trunk gets really beat up.
Yes,
it's right in the middle, so it takes a lot of hits. On Party Monsters, the lock, when it unlocks the balls, it actually shoots them over the center lane into the pop bumpers, and a lot of times that doesn't seem to work right, so they'll actually hit the plastic right next, just to the left of the pop bunkers, so it'll break that plastic, or it'll get caught in there. You'll see lots of weird little things there. You'll see people just blocking that lane, I've seen. On mine did the same thing. It hit that plastic, so that plastic was totally shattered. But I just stuck a rubber grommet under it, and it gave it enough height to get over it. And it never damaged the plastic after that. So if you get one, I would say go ahead and get the plastic protectors, especially for that center plastic. Keep it in good shape.
Okay.
That's it. But you can take a lot of damage just because you're just dropping the ball straight up in the middle of pop bumpers.
Yeah, that... Anytime you're dropping a ball, there's a high chance for damage if it's not falling in the exact spot it's supposed to, or high probability, obviously, for wear. But, yeah, good thing to check those out. So,
cool.
Again, fun games, and it was a pleasure to highlight them this month. So, again, we still take suggestions on games you want us to talk about, so let us know.
Yeah. And we got a couple of virtual tables to talk about. A lot of virtual tables came out this month. I know not everybody likes the virtual tables, so we'll keep it brief. But I love the virtual tables. So yeah. Just a heads up, Kirby's Pinball Land came out on DSiWare this past week, which is, you know, it's a decent old Game Boy game.
Yeah, it's good, for especially for the time. I remember when it came out, it was
pretty cool.
Pretty widely regarded as a good virtual pinball game.
Yeah, it's a good game for kids. I played it this week, and I still had fun. I played all three tables, and... Marvel Pinball came out on the 3DS, which is just, it's got the Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Captain America, and Blade tables, the same ones that are in Marvel Pinball on the PS3 and the Xbox.
Yep.
It actually works really 3D. Well on the 3DS. Yeah, they're in 3D, and they look great in 3D. I tried playing it not in 3D, and it was kind of hard to tell what was what, but in 3D it was awesome. Another one is, did you try these new Avengers tables?
I haven't tried them yet.
You gotta try them, man. They're insane.
I know. This week I'm all over them because I have heard they are fun and they do crazy stuff.
Yeah, they're probably the best tables to come out. You got a World War Hulk, which is kind of just lots of loops and ramps. Infinity Gauntlet, which is this, it's crazy. It's like a crazy table. There are times when both flippers are held up and you push the flipper buttons to lower the flippers. So you let go of the flipper buttons to flip. It's really weird.
Simpsons has a mode that does that.
Well, Simpsons has them reversed. Left is right and right is left.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then there's also one where the whole table turns upside down, like the whole screen does. So the table's at the top of the screen,
okay. Which is even harder. Yeah, I've got to get on those.
It's even weirder to play. There's one called Fear Itself, which is some, I don't know, some Thor storyline. But it's got like this kind of NASCAR, like a half NASCAR loop along the bottom with like this Addams Family bookcase that moves out of the way to get to it. And at one point, the balls turn into stones. So you have to be like kind of gentle with them, like cradle them, and you have to hit exactly the lit shots or they'll start to crack and break. And you only get so many balls that are made of stone. It's pretty weird, but it's really, really cool.
Yeah. Gonna have to check them out.
And then, oh, and one of the coolest things is the actual Avengers table is based on the movie, and there's seven different balls, and each one is colored like the character. Like, there's a green Hulk ball or whatever, a gold Iron Man ball, but each one has different perks. Like, one of them, you get two-time bonus in the pop bumpers. Another one, two-time bonus for skill shot or whatever. So, yeah, they all have the different perks. Kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. Cool. And those, I forgot, the pricing per table, is it $3 or is it two?
I think it's $2.50 per table. It's $10 bucks for all of them. Oh, yeah, I think it is $3 bucks each, but $10 bucks if you buy them all.
Yeah, you're better off buying the packs.
Yeah, they're all fun. All four of them are fun.
Yeah. Well, great. There's been a lot of virtual pinball lately. So for those of us that like it, I mean, it's never going to replace physical pinball. But it's kind of fun when you just got a few minutes to burn. And I've still been playing a lot of the Pinball Arcade on my phone and my tablet.
Cool.
I play it probably 4 or 5 times a week. It's fun. Still got some fierce competition going on with friends.
Nice.
Well, let's move on. What do we got? We have a location report this month?
One of our... one of the people that entered the contest, his name is Tom Vandenberg. He runs Main Street Amusements in Lafayette, Indiana. And he's got, I guess it's like a kind of a small town, but he's got a pinball arcade downtown. And he said all the machines are in great shape. They're anywhere from 25 to 75 cents. And this past spring, they actually hosted a pinball league there. So check out msamuse.com or Main Street Amusements on Facebook for more information.
Yeah.
So thanks, Tom, for sending that in.
Yeah, we'll link those in the show notes. And again, people, if you've got locations, let us know about them, or if you run any sort of tournaments or leagues, we'd love to talk about those things, especially if you've got, you know, any stories or reports of recent events. We'd love to hear them. So beyond that, we generally talk about a few Craigslist finds, and I'm pretty bare as far as finds go. I mentioned the Maverick again, but I think I've mentioned that the last two or three shows. It's been there for a little while. I guess they're not fans of the show, because any of our show fans would have taken a $1,400 Maverick by now.
Definitely.
I mean,
they probably all own it by now.
But anything that I do want to mention, there was a $2,100 South Park up here in Utah, so anybody's got money to burn.
Yeah.
I suggest you just burn it.
Yeah, just go ahead and burn it, yeah.
Okay. So, I didn't see a whole lot that jumped out to me. Anything that caught your eye?
Just a couple things. There's a Lethal Weapon 3 up in Colorado Springs for $700, which is not bad. There's been a guy locally trying to sell a Duotron and a Captain Fantastic, but I think he sold the Captain Fantastic because he hasn't been pushing it as hard. What was the other one I wanted to mention? I'm sorry.
Oh, while you're looking that, there is a Stern Stars, which is one of my favorite classic Stern games, that is here locally as well, near me. For $500, it does look like the cabinet's kind of hammered, and it doesn't have the greatest pictures, but the playfield does look good from the pictures. And the back glass looks good, but there's no, like, shot of the back side of it, so I don't know if it just looks good in the front. But $500 isn't too bad for a 100% working Stern Stars that, I mean, it says it has a beautiful back glass. Pictures, it's kind of tough to tell, but when they say back glass and they use that kind of terminology, it kind of seems like they know what they're talking about. So I might check that one out myself, but if anyone's interested, $500 isn't too bad for one in the condition it appears to be in.
Cool. Have you ever heard of Gin? A game called Gin, G-I-N? I had never heard of it either. I think it's a Chicago coin. There's one for sale in town here. I want to say it's like $7.50. And it's an old EM, but like the art is really cool. It's all like bikini chicks, like the whole thing. It's kind of cool for like a man cave, quote unquote, or game room or whatever. If you just have like one pin, you might as well have one with a bunch of bikini chicks on it.
Yeah, Forever Alone.
Yeah. Forever Alone. Anyway, I don't know. I'd never even heard of it, and it was pretty cool. So, I don't know. Not a whole lot.
What'd you say it was going for?
What was that?
What was the price on that?
It's either $750 or $725.
Okay.
Which is probably more than it's worth, but the pictures look good, so.
That's the asking price. You can wiggle that. So.
It's funny, my friend posted on Duke City Pinball the other day. He said, hey, does anyone know where I can get a $1,500 pinball machine for $3,000? And he was kind of poking fun at this guy on Craigslist. He keeps posting like Terminator 2 for $3,000 and Black Rose. And I want to say he had a Water World, I think, for $3,000. All of his games are $3,000. But they're all kind of.
Next thing you know, Jurassic Park The Lost World for $3,000.
$3,000. South Park.
Hey, if they can get it, more power to them, but
yeah, well, he's
a lot of those machines, you see them sit there and relist.
But he's had them on there for at least 6 months. I remember him talking at Christmas time, like, hey, for Christmas, check out these games. The same games. So, whatever.
Yeah, it's time to wiggle that price down.
A little bit.
I don't have any more. No. So
well, I need to make it a point of, like, trolling Craigslist for the week ahead of time.
Yeah, me too, and expand my geographical reach. Yeah, so
I only look 500 miles out. That's as far as
I that's about. And you know, I could probably, if I do that, I hit the coasts, so I should do that. So.
That's almost at your doorstep, I think, 500 miles from me.
Yeah, you're about there. So, kind of one of the last couple of things we wanted to talk about is our contest announcement, and then I got an email from Pindiana Jones, which is now my new favorite username ever. So Pindiana Jones asked me, what's the hardest habit that I had to change but was important for getting better? So basically, if I had, early on in playing pinball, I had a technique or something I was using that I shouldn't have been, and that I realized that I needed to change it. And whenever we talk about when you step up to a pinball machine, really the posture you should have should be what's most comfortable for you or let you see the playfield the best. But one thing I found out that when I changed, it made a huge difference for me, is I stopped putting my weight on the palms of my hands on the machine. It makes your nudging terrible if you do that. I found that if I put the weight on my, well, actually not even balanced on my feet, more on one foot with one foot forward. So put, you know, your feet 1 foot forward, 1 foot back, and then put the weight on 1 foot, and then had real light weight on my hands. It allowed me to nudge forward, side to side, a lot quicker, and I could do it in a lot more of a sharper type of nudge. So when that ball's heading the out lane, I could do a quick snap upwards to get that ball to bounce off the post. A lot better than when I had all my weight forward on my hands. And by putting my weight on 1 foot, I could kind of swivel my view a lot faster, as well as being able to kind of step forward to look up high on the machine, get low. If you want the extreme example of that, look at Rick Stetta videos. Yeah. I don't look like that when I play, but he's basically doing that in a very exaggerated way. And it took me a long time, and I still, every once in a while, catch myself putting my weight on the palms of my hands, leaning into the machine. But when I don't do it, I play a lot, lot better. So that's one for me. I don't know if there's anything that you've adjusted to personally, but I thought it was a great question, and it's one it took me a long time to realize that I needed to change. And so, and I probably changed that in the last 3 years or so. So I played a long time where I just leaned forward.
Yeah, same thing for me. I have only changed in the past year when I noticed that my hands were sore from playing pinball. Just putting all my weight on them.
Go ahead. That's also a good point, is when you put your weight on them, you have your wrists bent. So when you move your fingers, they fatigue a lot faster than if your wrists are more straight. So.
And actually, I noticed just the other day that since I've been taking my weight off of it, I use different flipper fingers.
Yeah, you switch between middle and index all the time.
One hand is on my index and one hand's on my middle finger.
Yeah, I do that too.
I had never noticed that before. My thing that has been very hard to change, I still am working on it, is not holding the flipper buttons down so long. I flip and hold it instead of just slapping it, and you never see the good players doing that. A lot of times it screws me because if there's an upper flipper, invariably I'll hit the bottom of the flipper.
Hit the back.
Yeah. It's kind of like, when I think of golf, you know how they say to follow through, take a full swing? It's just the way your body prepares to take the shot. It changes the way you take the shot. So, following through, you know, just popping the flippers when I need to pop them, and only holding them when I cradle. I play a lot better when I'm thinking about doing it. But when I'm just holding the flipper, taking the shot, watching the shot go where it's going, and then I remember to take my hand off the flipper, I play a lot worse that way.
Yep.
But it's very hard to change.
Yeah, you made a great point that any game that has upper playfield flippers, you should really only be flipping those ones when you mean to. When you're double flipping them, like I said, you run into a lot of issues where you're running, slap the bottom of that side of that flipper, and it can block an orbit or it can block a ramp. So, definitely great tip. So, thank you, Pindiana Jones, for the question. We love those sort of things. I love your username more, though. So, let's talk about this week's contest. And as mentioned, I think this is the best prize we've ever given away. And if people follow through, it'll help us with great shows in the future. So,
So just this week, I received issue 150 of the Pin Game Journal. So, congratulations to them. 150 issues is huge. It's been around for, almost 20 years, I think? About 20 years? Kind of a one-man machine where he's got a lot of contributing folks, but it's kind of a labor of love from Jim Shellberger, or Shellberg, rather.
Yep. Shellberg. Yeah.
Really cool guy, and, you know, even when he's been down or whatever, he keeps the machine moving, and he gets us those great stories, the new information, these great pictures of places we'll never see or that we wouldn't have seen without him, and now we want to go see it for ourselves.
Yeah. The Pin Game Journal, I mean, it's incredible that he keeps coming up with fresh content. Mm-hmm. He's done it through sickness, through difficulty. And, you know, a lot of times when things aren't going smoothly in life, pinball takes a back seat. But Jim knows a lot of people love what he's doing there. And like you said, he's based kind of on a contributor format. But pulling that all together, making it mesh, and putting out a high quality, very nicely printed magazine that comes with flyers, and it's a really, really nice product. So we decided we'd give away a year subscription to it, but tell them how.
Yeah, the way you win a 1-year subscription, which a 1-year subscription is what, like 2 issues or something? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's no. 8 issues. They come out when he puts them out, but you get 8 issues in 1-year subscription. And the way to win is to submit your ideas for engaging and interesting top 5 lists. So we've been doing this top 5 thing a couple shows now. We want more ideas on what you want to hear. So something engaging, something interesting, not just, top 5 favorite solid state games. But something kind of different for the show. So submit your idea. We'll randomly select somebody. But we want to kind of open up the pool a little and get some more ideas in there.
Yeah, and you don't have to get too crazy. If it's just something you want to hear us talk about, like, 5 favorite machines that have a girl in a bikini on the back glass. I mean, whatever it might be. If it's just something you want to hear us answer, send it in, because we're going to need to bank up some of these, because I'm not too clever. Don's going to carry us in that aspect, but he's only one man, so... get those submissions in. How do you want to do it? Do you want to make it random, or do you want to say whatever our top 5 list is for next month? That's our winner.
Our top 5s.
No, we're not. We're never going to do that.
No, we're not doing
top 5. You know what? Maybe
top
for show. Maybe
this
show
isn't
50.
Letterman.
So
I say we do random, because we might get a lot of gems in there.
Yeah, and we'll use them later anyway. So enter. Anybody enters is eligible. You can email us at pinballpodcast@gmail.com. Post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/pinballpodcast. You can tweet at us on twitter.com/pinballpodcast. Or you can leave comments on our website, which is blog-powered, and that is at thepinballpodcast.com. Did I miss any?
No, you got them all. I'm very impressed.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting better.
What's your LinkedIn? Do you want to put your LinkedIn up there?
LinkedIn/jar155.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah, but get at us, and we check those things. We're going to get a little bit better at answering emails, but we do read everything that comes in. So
well, Jeff
anything
does.
You send,
Jeff
we'll
does.
See it.
If you guys would stop stalking him and sending him to his personal account... That we could both.
I got a few. Yeah, I got a few this time, but that's fine. You want to email me personally, that's good. I understand you don't want Don in the loop.
Yeah.
So
horning in all of it. Hot pinball action.
Anyway, those top 5 lists, it's a lot of fun. And just so people know, we don't talk about it ahead of time. So I literally don't know what you're going to tell me. I know I'm probably going to disagree with at least half of it, but I don't know what you're going to say. And you're blind on my end. And I know you're going to agree with everything
I
say.
Eventually.
Other than that, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it for the show, unless there's any last hits you wanted to get in there. Anything you think of?
We've been bothering folks long enough, I think.
Right. Yeah, we've ran long. But like I said, I want to get that color DMD and get it in my tech for Mars. That's this month's goal.
Do it.
Yep, and chase the credit dot down. Right. So, everybody, thanks for listening again. Twitter.com/pinballpodcast. Facebook.com/pinballpodcast, thepinballpodcast.com, or pinballpodcast@gmail.com. Bam.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Have a week.
Oh, no! Smack control!